Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 91, part 1, How Do We Magnify the Lord? Today is Friday, March 27th, 2009. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Just a couple quick announcements before we get into Pastor Paul's message. First of all, you know that Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. And if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation on the homepage to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to go there, join the online community. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Or if you want to leave a comment, go to the blog. You can also ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. And you would just go to the blog, go to the interactive link, click it on, and there you are. You're going to also find at the blog, you're going to find interactive links to scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. You'll also find other information about the mission as well as the original recording dates. Another quick announcement just about the change in the format. Pastor Paul's podcast is now going to be delivered in two parts. The same episode in two parts. Part one will be delivered on Friday evening. Part two will be delivered on Sunday morning. It'll make for a shorter download file as well as shorter listening time. So I think it's going to work out really well. If you have any comments, you can make those comments at the blog. Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you and have a great week.
And tonight's message is entitled, How Do We Magnify the Lord? I mean, a lot of people forgot how to magnify God, I believe it. Well, first of all, we must tell of Him. That's magnification. First of all, you got to see God yourself, or that which you don't see, you can't magnify it. We must have a message for the unsaved. And sometimes, most times, when we minister the message to the unsaved, you know what happens? We probably get convicted ourselves. And we start thinking, how saved am I? In our own little brains, you know what I mean? Well, the Bible says you're saved to the uttermost, so you can just put that one over on the shelf and just say, praise God, now I'm going to magnify God because I am saved to the uttermost. But anyway, we've been dealing with sin lately, and not all in disguise either. A message on sin a week ago, and I should have called it, Now Do You Understand? And then we had a message, Give Me Not Your Ram's Fat. Tonight, let's look in on Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Now, I'm going to minister this because we always forget it. We have turned everyone to his own way. This is to the unsaved. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. But yet it speaks to us, doesn't it? Here the verse opens with all we and ends with us all. None of us are left out. All of God's elect are represented right here in this verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of God's elect are right here. And I believe the elect of God know this verse very thoroughly. Some come in early and some come in late. Some come the hard way, but all have fallen and gone astray, every one of us. And I believe we are all somewhat different, and we are somewhat different in our sin nature. And I believe it's a personal, like a thumbprint. Our own sin nature is like a thumbprint. The thumbs are all the same, but the print's a little different. And the sin is all the same, but it's a little different in you and me. It takes on a different character, a different shape, and a different form. Even though it's like the same sin, it's not exactly like it. It's like a thumbprint. Has a different groove to it. Different markings, just a little shade of difference. Because we're all individuals and we've all gone astray, have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. Wow. Oof. Oh yes, I believe we can see similarities in our sin. Yet the repentant ones see only themselves. When a person is truly repentant in their heart, they see their sin as different from anyone else's sin, because it's a personal thing now. It's their print. It's their thumbprint, if you will. And so talk as you will to this person and try to release them from that thing. Other than the Holy Ghost working on that person, they're not going to get free. It's got to be the workings of the Holy Ghost. We serve a very personal God. Yet we're similar. But yet we're different. We have turned everyone his own way. This leaves no room for excuses. Well, there's always extenuating circumstances for some people turning away from God or not coming to the Lord. You listening on the radio to this tape, this takes away every excuse, because everyone, saved, unsaved, all of them have gone astray. All of us, all the whole world has gone astray from Adam on. No room to back out or to hide or call people hypocrites or worry about what they're doing. It is up to you. We are serving a personal God, and a personal God has got your print. No room to back out or to hide, no apologies and no prejudice. All have sinned. Red and yellow, black and white, they are sinners in his sight. Jesus saved the little children of the world. For they have all sinned and all fallen short of the glory of the Lord. All have missed the mark. And when we finally understand the election and the grace of God, we understand our personal lives. Then it isn't so easy to counsel people then, is it? They're all a little bit different, and you can witness to them and you can talk to them. But what a thoughtful verse, full of thought. Listen, all we like sheep have gone astray. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? Come on now. Y'all hearing this? I see one sleeping back there. All we have gone astray and fallen asleep. Brother, you told me to wake you up. I'm sorry. Not like the ox which knoweth its owner. No, not like them. Nor even the ass which remembers its master's crib. Nor even the swine which, if it wandereth all day long, cometh back to the trough at night. But like sheep we have gone astray. Like the creature cared for, but not capable, and not grateful, and not having a grateful attachment to the hand that cares for it, we have all gone astray. And here's the shepherd taking care of us, and we have all gone astray. Not like the ass, and not like the ox, and not like the swine, but like the sheep. Belly grateful, I call it, but not heart grateful. When we're satisfied in our bellies, our human appetites, then everything is all right. We smack our lips and cross our feet. Isn't that right? And cross our eyes and cross everything. But we're not heart grateful. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Like a creature wise enough then to find the gap in the hedge to escape. Well, we can always find a way out. But then we're too silly to find our way back again. When we get out there, we're all full of cockle burrs, and we're out there ready to fall off the cliff, and then a dry place. Bah, 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 bah. And we can find our way out of the gap, and a gap in the hedge, but we can't find our way back in again. We're too stupid. Why is that? Because our understanding then becomes darkened. And we say, why don't I have the same joy and peace? And why aren't I sitting beside still waters? And why aren't I in the green pastures anymore? God, I'm so miserable with all these cocklebirds. I can't even lay down at night and go to sleep. I'm so miserable. I hurt all over. But we find a way out easily and often. And like sheep, habitually and constantly and willfully and foolishly and without the power to return, we have all gone astray. And so you see, we must all fully realize the very lostness of ourselves if we're to be of any use at all. You are lost, but he found you. You came because you were called. You came because it was foreknew who you were. You were one of his lambs, and you had gone astray, and he called you. And the calling was effectual, and you were giving enough light to come on in to Jesus, the shepherd. Now I believe we need to repent of repenting. Oh, we can say we are miserable sinners. But you know, that will only increase our sins unless we have a really felt our sins. You got to really feel them. You got to go out there and get all full of cockleburrs and get your nose with a big cockleburr on the end and, you know, get barbs in your mouth. You got to be all dirty and soiled and at the edge of the cliff. And so that you really feel that you're lost, totally lost. Then we can be of some use. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was bound, but now I'm free. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. to bring back memories? Does it make you want to praise the Lord over and over and over again? For he hath found you and he hath saved you. And you listening out there, you take this seriously, you're not born again. I'm talking about you. Also convicting us. We need to repent of repenting. Oh, we're always so repentant, but we're always repenting in the wrong way. Always sorry after the fact, but never receiving the fact. After we do it, we're always sorry. Why? We're sorry because we got caught. We're sorry because someone says, uh-oh, cock over on your backside. Uh-oh, look at your wool. Look, it's all dirty and soiled. Where you been? And so that's really why we're sorry. Well, I love this scripture because it gets so personal. Don't you want God to get personal with you? Don't you serve a personal Savior? Oh, I love it when he gets personal with me. It takes all the self-righteousness out of us and all the wind out of our hot bags. Now listen to what the rest of the scripture says. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so then first let's consider the text by the way of exposition. Next by the way of application. And next by the way of contemplation. And I hope it's fruitful. So first let's look at the scripture in the light and the way of the exposition. Now I believe here tonight the very first thought is this. He will take on all of our sins. Isn't that a thought? Well, I don't think I have any sin. Well, any man say he be without sin is a liar and there's no truth in him. No truth in him. Now, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? No truth in him. Well, now, that makes you about the biggest liar that ever was, you self-righteous boobs. You listening on the radio? You see what I'm saying? If any man say he be without sin, he is a liar and there's no truth in him. And you say, well, hey, I've been delivered. I mean, I'm fully delivered. You ever hear somebody say that this person or that person has been fully delivered? Are you ready to start being fully delivered? Be more like it. Woo. Oh, yes. He takes on all of our sin, and then we must minister to the unsaved and get convicted in ourselves in the very message that we preach. And a lot of times when we counsel to ourselves. Christ suffered for all sin. All sin is focused on him. That's like there was a whole lot of little beacons out there seeking you out, and it found all of your sin, each one. Over here. And all these little rays of light, all these little beacons came down and they found all the sinners. And you were naked and miserable and wretched and poor, full of barbs and brambles, all these things. And then all these little rays of light were put together and taken off of you and placed on Jesus. And he stood center stage for you. In the view of all the universe, all of the rays, the death rays of sin were cast upon him. And until you fully realize, you say you aren't going to be able to minister to anybody because you're going to be so caught up in why aren't people doing this and that. They aren't doing it because we're sinners and we're sinners and we're sinners and that's the way it is. And the only way that we can be of any use to the Lord is to recognize that and to go on towards a high mark, the calling in Christ. And that's what makes us go towards him. And so all these billions of little spears of light were focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no assistance. He had no helpers. Billions of debts were handed to him. Debts. Debts. Every sin. What a bill of lading that must have been. How'd you like to check out a bill of lading like that? How would you like to get a bill like that? Zillions of sins. All the sin of all times where he took the debt on. Past, present, and future. Because everything in God is now. It's now faith, and it's now get going, and it's now praise the Lord. Let's not wait till tomorrow. But the bill collector comes and says, who's willing to pay? Someone's going to pay. And so the second thought here is that sin was made to meet upon the suffering person of the innocent substitute, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even founded. Jesus, this is a message you must preach. This is the message that you must preach. This is the message of the hour and the message of the day. The Bible goes on and says he was wounded for our transgressions. Now, but I've heard this. Yeah, but you're not doing. You're not doing if you really heard it in your heart and your spirit. Then you would go out and do that which he has called you to do. Listen to me on the radio right now. Tape ministry right now. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Whew. And with his stripes, we were healed. And I believe the explanation to this is, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That explains everything. And now in that we knew no sin, he could be the substitute. And by the way, a perfect substitute without sin, without spot, without wrinkle. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, listen to it, the righteousness of God in him. And it goes on, he shall bear not merely the punishment of their sin, nor the imputation of their sin, but he shall bear their iniquities. Bear them, wear them. Think about that. Our sin is laid on Jesus, and even in a deeper and even in a truer sense than is expressed in this term, imputation. What does that mean, imputation, anyway? Well, the sin was amputated from us. Cut off and implanted, imputated upon him. The growth of sin was taken off from our flesh and put upon his flesh. All the sin, all the iniquities. Wow. Grafted in on from our sinful flesh to his human flesh, and then nailed to the cross to die forever. Every sin, those legs that ran so greedily to sin, and those hands, these hands, where they been? Those minds and those hearts and those eyes and that body of the sinful flesh, every thought, every action, every deed, every desire, every temptation, I mean the very root of it, glory to God, forgiven through Jesus Christ forever. Now, isn't that a message you want to give away to somebody? And only when you recognize your own lostness will you then have the full rejoicing in your spirit and the desire of the Holy Ghost to magnify Christ and to give that away. And you'll say, glory to God, I got to tell somebody. And so I hear someone ask, was it just that sin should be thus laid upon Christ? And I believe the answer is fourfold here. Jesus agreed with the adversary quickly whilst he was in the way to get him out of the way. Yes, I agree they sinned. Yes, I agree they love it. Yes, I agree they sold out. But I, God, take it on myself, and I die on the cross, and I repeat I, and I repeat all. I repeat all, that all the sin of all the people will be nailed to that cross, and they will sure ever be forgiven, those that receive me. That they would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that a message to preach? Why isn't it preached? Why don't we preach it to ourselves? Why don't we get it ingrained in us? And so that we can go out and lead people to Christ, your main cause. You know, then you start to get the joy of the Lord in the thing. Unless you're ministering Christ and offering Christ, he is real to you. You'd rather sit home and watch Fiddly-Dee and Yum-Dee-Dum. Say amen, somebody. Now, how many here in this man? Now, I know I make folks mad. My God, there's a whole lot of them sitting home right now watching some damnable program. That right? It's because Christ is no longer really real to them. And even though they're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, they've lost their first love. Why? They don't talk about them. When a husband and wife starts talking, they don't talk about each other, they lose their love. When they get far removed from one another, they become strangers. Unless they have Christ in common and Christ is the center, that marriage ain't going to last. And so you Christians listening right now, is Christ the center? And I don't care where you're at in the Lord. If Christ is the center, you're listening to a whole lot of things the Bible says about Christ being the center and about the obedience of the Lord and where your place is positionally in God. And don't look at your mate and say, but, and if, and so on, and so, because you got your own thumbprint. God's dealing with you. Now, you listening, don't harden your hearts against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't you do it. Should the clay argue with the potter? Just accept it as being right as we that have been born again or totally perished. Now, that's a word, isn't it? Is that a heavy word? You better believe it's a heavy word. And that's a word that's got to go out. There isn't a whole lot of time to waste, is there? Just accept it as being right. God has spoken, or isn't that enough? Moreover, remember, Jesus Christ voluntarily took on the sin upon himself. Voluntarily, I volunteer. Wasn't forced upon him. He wasn't punished for the sins of others with whom he, let's say, had a connection with, or wasn't against his own will. No, he says, I want to do this. But he says, his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And while bearing it, remember this. Remember what he said. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. There was a plan. My God, there was a plan. They're talking about God now. There was a plan. And what a wonderful plan it was. And yet, we take the plan very lightly. The plan of salvation. You listening, if you're not born again, let me tell you right now, you take that plan seriously. Remember then also that our God came in the flesh. He fully understood us. Well, he says he was our shepherd. God became man in the flesh, came here. Yet he was divine. And I know this is why they consider us sheep. Of course, then we have a shepherd, don't we? We're not strangers to him. No, we're not. It's only right then that the shepherd should come and die for his sheep, and he did. Look down, he's seen them all out there in all those places they shouldn't be. He says, I'm going to go and I'm going to get my sheep. I'm their shepherd. I'm going to go out and shepherd them in. I'm going to bring them in and I'm going to use my staff against those out there, those wolves and that roaring lion that goes to and fro. Whew. Oh my. So we're not strangers to the Lord. Oh no, we're not. I believe another consideration is that God not only laid our sin there, but Jesus voluntarily took it up. Voluntarily. I also believe that moreover, there was such a union with his church that it was very natural that he should take it. Say amen. Just like you protecting your mate and going out after your own mate. But now listen, we must remember this plan of salvation is precisely very similar. In fact, it is similar to the method of our ruin. And listen, how did we fall after all? Not by any one of us actually ruining ourselves. No, we didn't actually do that by ourselves. But granted, our sin would be grounds enough to send us all to hell if we were measured that way. But the ground of our original fall lay in another. I had no more to do with my fall than I had to do with my restoration. Someone fell in my place so that I was fallen. And someone rose in my place that I may live. Someone died and rose again that I may live. So you see what the first Adam did, the last Adam undid, and we got saved through that. Say amen, somebody. Whew. Would you say that was a plan? I had no more to do with my fall than I did with my restoration. The original. Then also the salvation by which I am delivered was finished long before I saw the light by the second Adam, I should say the last Adam, on my own behalf. Then again also God can't look upon sin, and so he couldn't look upon Jesus. There's Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look upon what Jesus had become. Consequently, he went through the great darkness for us all. Sin had to be punished. Let me say this, he suffered unknown sufferings. Every sin imagined, he suffered. All our iniquities, all of our lawlessness, it says. Death went through him and through him to the very core. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And what's the result of all that? Sin was put away. What does that mean? That means it was put away. Now understand this, if you understand anything in your Christian walk. It is finished. Say amen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The other night, a Indian man down at the hobo bus said, Brother, he says, you remember when you prayed for me some months back when this bus first came to be? I said, yes. He says, I felt really good after that. My uncle here, I've been trying to get back to South Dakota, and he's been down here 4 or 5 years. I brought him down here. He's an alcoholic now. He's out running the streets. I can't get him to even come in out of the rain. Will you pray for me and my uncle so he can get that good feeling? And so after dinner, we went outside and we prayed for that uncle. And oh, there is so much deadness in the house of God, I hardly hear. You know, I don't hear you people on the radio or tape saying hooray for Jesus hardly at all. Well, you want to hear the story, but then you'll smack your lips, roll over and go to sleep probably. They went outside of the bus and they both got saved, and the next day they came down here to this very building. 80,000 pounds of rice was delivered, and I walked over to the brothers just before I came in. I says, we got 80,000 pounds of rice coming in. They said, well, I suppose you want us to help you. I says, that was my intent. And those brothers almost single-handedly unloaded all 80,000 pounds of that rice. You know what happened after that? We got done. I walked over and I said, I prayed with this brother and his uncle, and I want to tell you guys about Jesus. I'd no more got it out of my mouth than they put their arms around me and stood in a circle, and we had a powwow there, and they all come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You want to know something? The reason that they came to know Jesus is because I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm the most lonesome, miserable person without doing a work for the Lord that ever was. And every day that I don't witness and every day that I get caught up in myself, I'm out there, I've gone astray. But I have to wander back in and get in the fold, in the flow. And so the whole day I says, you know something? The world says we're on a roll. Well, we're on a roll too up yonder, I guess. But I believe we're in the flow. And so the whole day, this whole balcony got emptied. 80,000 pounds of rice come in. Numerous people come to know Jesus. What a day this has been. What a day this has been. Oh, let's don't miss it. My God, we miss it so many times. We get caught up by asking stupid questions while we've gone astray. Why am I out here? Why am I so miserable? Why am I here? Why am I living? Well, my answer is it beats me, but I'm not God. Oh, so beautiful is the day. Say amen, somebody. Ooh, how many hearing this word? So if you're